Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Habakkuk. What a great name. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then skipping ahead to chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4 as well. And that's on Pew Bible page 752. Let us listen to God's word. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise, so the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on the tablet so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it, and it will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. This is the word of the Lord. And our New Testament passage from Luke's Gospel, Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, on Pew Bible page 840. 49. Hear the word of our Lord. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and wondrous Lord, we listen to your word and it guides us and leads us. It leads us to be your people in a hurting and broken world. We ask that it would guide our hearts and minds, that you would open them to hear all that you are saying to us, to your people. Gracious God, hear these our prayers. Amen. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I'm guessing many of you know the song and are familiar with it, so I won't assail your ears with my lack of ability to sing on key, but this whole story begins with an invitation. It's not exactly the right kind of invitation, because it's not Zacchaeus saying, hey, Jesus, come on over for dinner. My wife is cooking this lovely bird. It's a nice turkey. Do you like dark meat, white meat? You know, what kind of food do you like? We'll stop by the store on the way home. It's not that kind of an invitation. It's got all these different elements and pieces which stay with us. As we sing the Wee Little Man song, there are aspects we think about. We think about a grown man climbing a tree. What an image. Especially if he's wearing a robe like this, which makes climbing all the more difficult. It's one of those stories that we remember and remember and remember. There are pieces and parts, puzzle pieces, if you will, that we put together with this story. We can put together the puzzle pieces that Zacchaeus is not well liked at all. Not only is he a tax collector, he's the chief tax collector. If an average tax collector is seen as corrupt, a sinner who is a stooge of Rome, how much more so is a man who is the chief among them? Then comes the inference that he is rich. He's rich. So we can infer one of two things. He married well, or his corruption as a tax collector has made him so. Generally, we're kind of led down the first path than the second. Not the first path, the second path, the corruption path. But like other tax collectors, he's interested in this man known as Jesus. We don't know if there was a particular teaching of Jesus or a story that had happened. Maybe it's the simple fact that he sits down with sinners and tax collectors like him that intrigues him, that he wants to see Jesus. He only wants to see him. That in of itself is interesting. He doesn't want to touch him like the widow with the hemorrhage. He doesn't necessarily want to be healed or sit down and have a conversation. His goal is to see him. He doesn't exactly have high expectations, does he? But then comes his problem. He's not tall. Well, I started to learn a lot more about this problem when Liam was little. When we go to parades, when we lived in Pekin, Illinois, there was a parade for a parade for a parade, it seemed like. And everybody handed out and tossed out candy. And so you'd get to your spot, you're sitting there ready for the parade, and this queue of kids gets in front of you because they wanted to be the first to get candy. And those kids aren't budging for anything because they might lose their spot to get the candy. And then you learn that there's this wall of kids and your kid is 3 years old, 4 years old, and he can't see. So what do? He goes up and he can suddenly see. It explains why Zacchaeus has to go, but it also explains why he can't see. Because when you consider the crowd, are they going to give this tax collector the courtesy of, excuse me, I can't see. Can I get in front of you? No. They have their opportunity to maybe needle the tax collector a little bit by standing a little bit taller, a little broader, making themselves a little bigger so he can't see even between the cracks between them. So maybe they throw an elbow to make sure he doesn't try and see. This is their chance to get even. So Zacchaeus is left with the option of climbing a tree just to see Jesus. There are moments in these stories where we look and we see an act of faith. And it might not seem this tremendous moment to climb a tree, but you also look at who he is and what he is, He's the chief tax collector for the area. He's a rich man. All he wants to do is see Jesus, and he's forced to climb a tree. Think about his act of faith here. What he's willing to do. Is he ripping apart a roof to lower a friend down? No. Is he running back to Jesus to say, thank you for healing me? No. But all in all, it is a significant act of faith for Zacchaeus to climb a tree. We can weave stories about Zacchaeus all we want to make him a greater or lesser person. We can create stories about how he's been so hard on the widows and orphans. We don't know that. He married the richest woman in town. We don't know anything about him outside of his position and what he's willing to do to see Jesus. We do see that his role has given him almost a celebrity status of sorts. He's well known enough as himself, as Zacchaeus. And so when he climbs the tree, Jesus knows him. We don't know even why he wants to see Jesus. Maybe it's to brag to friends, hey, I got to see Jesus the other day. Is it that simple? Or is it that deep inside of him yearning that seems to be so prevalent in society, that yearning for something more? Maybe that's the beginning for him. But then comes that great, amazing moment. As we see him up in the tree and Jesus coming, addressing him by name and inviting himself to his house. Now we can chuckle at how Mrs. Zacchaeus wasn't too happy with the whole inviting himself over to dinner. But the fact is, Zacchaeus goes from hoping to just see him to glimpse Jesus. And even for that, he's willing to climb a tree. And here he has an invitation to go to dinner. We can see his joy happening in the moment. But then that joy almost stops. Because as soon as the crowd hears this, they're not happy. Now, do we know how corrupt he was, if he was corrupt? No. All we know is that he's the chief of tax collectors, and tax collectors aren't popular guys and are seen as their own special form of sinner. The reality is, people are not happy. And it's not just the Pharisees that are unhappy. You know, normally when something like this happens, you have the Pharisees and the scribes saying to Jesus, why are you eating with sinners and tax collectors? This is to a point where it's ordinary, everyday people that are upset. But then Zacchaeus does something different. He makes a response to God. He responds in such a way. And that's the most interesting part, is his response to Jesus. Response to his invitation. He doesn't just respond, but he responds in spades. He isn't just going to help out the poor on a few days a week. He's going to give half of everything he has to the poor. He's not just going to do a normal restoration of the property he might have cheated people out of. He's going to restore it fourfold. Think about that. He doesn't just do the bare minimum in response to God. He goes above and beyond. The bare minimum would have been to say, oh, I give some of what I have to the widows and orphans. I'll look after them. Okay. It would have been to restore plus one-fifth of the amount to those he had defrauded. But instead, he responds with a fourfold response. A fourfold response reserved for only those who had committed a violent act when robbing someone. That is how great is the desire of Zacchaeus to respond to God. That is how willing to restore the brokenness, willing to help out the least of these in his world, in his community. Pay attention to what he says. Because we get lost in sometimes hearing the benevolence. Not long ago, I was reading an article that spoke of how benevolence is the new advertising. And it looked at corporations and how instead of their advertising budgets, they now made donations. And that was doing better for them since it was also a tax write-off. This isn't like that. This isn't Zacchaeus saying, well, I'm a tax collector. I know the tax code pretty well. I will donate X amount and then I'll claim XYZ and then we'll be good to go because I will actually get... No. He's going to take all that he has, split it in half, and push it onto the table for the poor. That is the extent of his gift to his community, to his people. He isn't edging his way into this new life, this following of Jesus. He's all in. He's going 110%. He's going to restore and make amends to the nth degree. But what should we do when we see Zacchaeus? We should see the desire to make amends, to restore the brokenness that we may have caused. Do we have the monetary resources like Zacchaeus? Well, if we do, I hope it was on the up and up and, you know, no judgment there or anything like that. But the reality is we should take inspiration from him. Inspiration to respond to God in such an extreme way. It's not in the acceptance of the crowd that causes Jesus to proclaim salvation on the house of Zacchaeus. It is not on what the crowd says to him and their grumbling that causes him to respond. It is his response to Jesus. The crowd is this surrounding background noise. The story is Zacchaeus and Jesus in that moment. It is Zacchaeus responding to the invitation of Christ. It is Christ seeing the change, the transformation within Zacchaeus. That is what this is about. One of the hardest things is to judge the efficacy of someone's heart. We do it a lot. Oh, well, they're just doing that to help themselves. Oh, they're just doing... We do that a lot, don't we? Looking for ulterior motives, self-beneficiary moments. But the reality is, what we see happening with Zacchaeus isn't between the crowd, Jesus, and Zacchaeus. It's between Zacchaeus and God. Zacchaeus' response, that is seen by God, and that is judged by God, not by human. The restoration that happens because God sees it. God judges it. God knows what is in Zacchaeus' heart. There's a twofold response for us. To respond with a desire to restore the broken, like Zacchaeus. A desire to restore everything, like him. And also to put our trust in God, that God knows what is in one's heart. God knows what is going on. And to trust in our God. Amen. Children of God, let us respond to our Lord through our gifts.